Good morning. Welcome to the Wednesday morning devotion and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. This week, our focus is on the courage to overcome, and looking at different aspects of what happens when we do overcome. And hoping that the result of being one who overcomes through Christ, who overcomes in Christ, will motivate us to persevere, to be faithful to the end. And so throughout the week, we're looking at kind of the conclusions of the messages that God sends to the churches in the opening chapters of the book of Revelation. And talking about encouraging them to remain faithful as God describes the result of overcoming. And today we're going to talk specifically about overcoming oppression or the results of having the courage to overcome to the end. Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 through 27 says, "To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father." In the midst of that verse, that passage, is a quote. The quote that he will rule them with an iron scepter, he will dash them to pieces like pottery. And it describes, in a sense, the end result of those oppressors in this life. And God says to those who overcome, who do his will until the end, you will have the authority over nations, over those who have oppressed. You will be the one ruling with Christ. You will be the one who's in charge. Not because you're so good, not because you're so powerful, but because you're residing with Christ. Because he dwells with you. And what an encouragement it ought to be to us in the midst of the oppression of life. And some experience that in a very real way. Many around our world know full well what it's like to live under a full-blown oppressive regime. Many of us deal with things that we don't like. We view it as oppressive. Here in northern Indiana, the heat index is supposed to soar over 100 today, and we'll talk about the weather being oppressive. But many times in our American culture, at least, we kind of use that word interchangeably with simply uncomfortable. Throughout Scripture and throughout history, we find times where a real oppressiveness of those who belong to Christ has taken place. And it becomes a danger to be known as a Christian. And as John opens up the book of Revelation, we discover that the message is given, that the book is there, the writing is there, the information is there to encourage us. And we read so much of it, and it can get so confusing and so misunderstood and so misapplied that we lose sight of its purpose according to God. And these letters to the churches in these opening chapters were designed, one, to warn the churches, the people, but to also encourage them, to let them know that God noticed. God was noticing what they were doing well. God was noticing what they were struggling with. And he encouraged them to repent of the things that they needed to repent of. He encouraged them to hold fast to the things they needed to hold fast to. It's a message you and I need to hear, and we need to heed. We need to gaze regularly into God's Word and see where He calls us to repentance, where He calls us to change, to turn away from sin, to turn away from selfishness, to turn away from things that separate us from Him. And we also need to gaze into His Word on a regular basis to learn where He commends us and where He encourages us to keep doing what we're doing, to keep holding on to our faith, to keep holding on to Him. And when we find ourselves in the midst of oppression of any kind, I believe the encouragement there is that we would remain faithful to the end, that we would continue to do His will, knowing that this oppression is temporary. That one day the tables will be turned. When the Bible says that greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world, He's letting us know that when those tables are turned, we are on the side of victory. Now, I think there's a warning due here that it's not proper or right for us to gloat over those who are headed to destruction. But to be aware that unless change comes about in those who are responsible for oppressing others, for those who are responsible for oppressing God's people, unless they repent, unless they change, unless they turn to Christ, the tables will be turned, that they will be dashed to pieces. They will be destroyed eternally. And when we consider that at the bottom of all of this is the ruler of this age, is the enemy of Christ, the enemy of those who belong to Christ, that the author of confusion, the author of oppression, is Satan himself. And when we begin to see that those who oppress others are being used, some very willingly, some very eagerly, but nonetheless, they are being used by our enemy. And so as we endure and as we long for that day, God says it's our courage to overcome. It's our willingness to do His will to the end that puts us on the proper side, that brings real victory. It always seems strange to me to find that prophetic quote in the middle of this passage about ruling with an iron scepter and dashing them to pieces like pottery. sounds rather severe. But then you realize what was taking place and what was about to take place. The way that Christians were being treated. And the encouragement that comes to those who continue to be faithful in the midst of severe mistreatment. Is the encouragement of justice. It's the encouragement of things being made right. It's the encouragement of actually being victorious, even through the midst of death. As we live life today and we experience the disappointments of life and we label them probably more severe than what they really are, we can be confident that our ability to overcome is made possible by the blood of Jesus cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Our courage to overcome is made possible by the Spirit of God dwelling within us, filling us with peace and hope. And our desire to do God's will to the end is, even it is a gift from Him. As He fills us with the seeds of faith, as we put that faith into practice. And we do those things that God has called us to do. We pray for our enemies. We do good to those who persecute us. And rather than seeking to overcome oppression by destroying it, we overcome oppression by remaining faithful to God. By keeping our eyes fixed on Him. And the higher plane, the higher place that He calls us to. Not simply a higher place in the future, but a higher way of living today. We rise above the pettiness of this world. And I know it's so difficult when we live life in a world that is full of division, that is full of mistreatment, that is full of unfairness, that is full of favoritism and prejudice and partiality and all of the things that label people and place different values on people. And it's so easy to see those who are valued more highly than we are and somehow feel that we're oppressed, and all the while failing to see those that we perhaps value less than we do ourselves, and in a sense oppress them. And God's desire is that we would not only not be oppressed, but we would not be the oppressors. Instead, we would lift one another up, regardless of who they are, regardless of what place in life that they have, that we would learn to lift one another up, to care for one another, to serve one another, to love one another. That plants the seeds of hope and faith that help us to persevere to the end, that help us to realize the fruit of overcoming oppression. I don't believe it's something you're going to see disappear from this earth. I don't believe it's something you will see disappear from life until the return of Jesus, until this life, as we know it, is over. But how we respond to it and how we deal with it ought to change when we realize that these oppressors, these seasons of oppression are, as Paul would put it, light and momentary troubles compared to the glorious riches found in Jesus Christ. It's why so many throughout history could stand, even in the face of execution, and give glory to God. From Jesus himself on the cross to Stephen being stoned to death for proclaiming Christ, to various martyrs throughout history who refused to denounce their faith in the midst of deadly oppression. And while on the surface it probably looks to many as if they lost, they in fact won. And they overcame. And they received victory. As we pray today, it's my belief that God calls us to live a life knowing that not only does He win, but when we are in Christ, we win. Would you spend time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to yourself. Your love has obtained victory for us. And your love calls us to be faithful, to overcome, and to do your will to the very end. To realize that when this life is over, that we reign with Christ. That those who oppress in this world will not have the final say. That they will be dashed to pieces unless they too repent, unless they too turn away from the wickedness. Father, we realize that the driving force behind the oppression in this world is Satan. And while the source is from Him, it doesn't absolve us from responsibility to not be those that are used to oppress others, to lift others up rather than to put them down. And God, today as we live life and we experience things that we view as oppression, whether they're minor or major or somewhere in between, may we realize that you have given victory. And as we live as those who overcome oppression, may we learn to do so in the way that lifts up Jesus, in the way that makes Him known, in the way that shows we are your children. So God, help us to have the courage to love our enemies, to do good to those that persecute us, to pray for those that would harm us, to long for their transformation rather than their destruction. Father, even knowing that those who continue a life of following the enemy, who continue a life of oppressing your children, will eventually reach a destination of destruction, that they don't win. And Father, while we have hope because of that, may we also have compassion. Just as you are long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, may we realize that the path being walked upon by those who oppress others is not a good path. It's not a prosperous path. It's not a productive path. In the way that we respond, Father, may it be one that helps them to see the error of their ways. God, today, as we live in faithfulness, as we seek to do your will no matter what, may we lift up Jesus at every opportunity that we have so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Wednesday morning devotion and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.